Thank you, Dr. Neal. I apologize, we're a little behind schedule today. Hopefully this shouldn't take too long. So if you'll just bear with me here, and I'll let you know when I need, I'm gonna swear you in, okay?
Okay.
This is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Carter Neal in the case of 22-135. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it at ARS 32-2234. Dr. Neal, please state your, I guess, please introduce yourself, and then I presume you do not have counsel with you.
No, I do not. My name is Carter Neal. I'm the owner-operator of Santa Cruz Veterinary Clinic.
Okay, great. Dr. Neal, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, these options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on a probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. Board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now. I presume you do not have any additional materials? This is just new.
No, nothing new.
Okay. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. James, can you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Yes. I had moved on to medical records or something. All right, so on May 13th, 2022, Little Bit, a 1.5-year-old spayed female English bulldog was presented to the respondent for a cherry eye procedure. Later that day, the complainant received a call from the hospital staff reporting that an error was made and respondent attempted to spay the dog. Once in the abdomen, the respondent realized that the dog had already been spayed. She closed the abdomen and tattooed the incision. The cherry eye was repaired and the dog recovered uneventfully. On May 16th, 2022, the complainant advised respondent that the spay incision was infected and sent a photo of the incision site. The complainant declined bringing in the dog for exam. Therefore, the respondent called in a prescription of cephalexin to a pharmacy of the complainant's choice.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Neal, I'd like to swear you in now. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
You're talking to me, correct?
Yes.
Dr. Neal?
Right.
Yes, I do.
Okay, great. Dr. Neal, we would now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant. Please keep in mind we have all of the information that's been submitted that we have all reviewed.
Yes. I just wanted to emphasize that we've made some changes in our paperwork to help prevent the transposition error from the client information page onto the surgical page so that this shouldn't happen again.
Okay.
Because that was one of my questions, is how does, what changes were made that is going to prevent that from happening? Because it seems like that's a human error.
Usually our front end staff was the one that would highlight the services that need to be done or write them on the top under where it says other. And my front office tech had inadvertently highlighted dog spay on the surgical form because they had also brought in another dog that was coming in for a dog spay on the same day. We're now having the veterinarian or the veterinary student who's doing the check-in do the highlighting, and we changed some questions on the front end to verify whether the animal spayed or not during the check-in. Like when they fill out their paperwork in the front, there's some check boxes that have been changed so that visually it's easier for me. I go and check, or the vet student checks in the first page to see what the history is, if the dog has been spayed or not, especially if it's coming in for a different procedure other than spay-neuter.
Okay. Do any board members have any other questions for Dr. Neal?
Was that all that you had to add before we get started with some questions? Someone interrupted.
If you're talking to me, no, I don't have anything to add.
Okay. So this is Dr. James again. So I know in your response you had said that you had seen the scar and that you just assumed that this dog had had prior surgeries. Is that something that you have reconsidered since this case?
Well, yes, obviously, since it's come to the board's attention. I made an assumption at the time when I saw that dog. I recognized it had a laparotomy scar, but we get a lot of bulldogs down here that have had C-sections where, unfortunately, the vets don't spay them at the same time. So I get a lot of bulldogs in particular that have lap scars. So when I saw the lap scar, I just made a notation to myself and my surgery tech that was there that I said, oh, this dog probably had a C-section. So then I moved forward with surgery and then found, you know, saw the scarring on the ovarian and uterine sites and then just closed her up and said, why do these people not know this dog wasn't spayed? And that's when we went up to the front person who helped do the check-in and then found out the error at that time. So I had Kim, who was the technician that had originally helped, or the front office representative, call them and let them know that we inadvertently, or this dog's already been spayed, and then they said, oh, well, we knew that already, and that's when the error was discovered.
Right. So I do understand what you're saying. I guess what my question was really around is, obviously, when we see a scar, it would be better to double check than to assume. So what I'm asking is, have you changed? And the next time you go into surgery and you see a scar and you go, why am I doing a spay on a dog that might have already been spayed? Would you go and check the paperwork? Because I feel like we're missing the fact that we had an opportunity to prevent this and we didn't.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I question it. And then the changes we made on the paperwork and our review process of it would hopefully stop that from even happening now based on the changes we made with the check-in procedure. But yes, if this happened again, absolutely, I would be, maybe we need to get some more information first.
Okay, and then
Is that answering?
It is. I just want to make sure that, you know, half of what we do in these cases is try to make sure that we understand what happened so that we can prevent this from happening again in the future. And what I would say is, it's best practice if you see a scar that you should go back and check and make sure that you're doing the right procedure, because mistakes like this are going to happen no matter what you do with your paperwork. Mistakes are going to happen, and that was another opportunity to correct this before we opened the dog's abdomen.
Yes, I agree.
So my other question in this, since we didn't actually have approval to do the spay, which at the time you didn't know, because I'm assuming you thought that we did have approval, is included in that approval to do a tattoo?
Yes, all of our anesthetic releases have a statement in there, and you should have a copy of their record, but it says all animals here for surgical sterilization will be tattooed.
Right.
So,
because she wasn't there for that, do you really feel like you had approval?
Well, I thought she was there for a spay. So, our standard operating protocol is with any animal. Like, we get a lot of feral TNRs or people that have brought their cat that they got off the street and they don't know its spay-neuter status. It's just standard operating protocol. If we find a spay scar or do surgery and find that it's already been altered, they will be tattooed at the end of the procedure. So that was just standard operating protocol that I tattooed this dog because I determined that she had been sterilized. Does that make sense?
Yes. I don't have any additional questions. I don't know if other board members have questions.
Okay. Well, we do not have the complainant in this case. In that case, Dr. Neal, do you have any additional remarks or any other questions you'd like to ask?
No.
Okay. Okay, so if there's no further questions from board members, this concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter.
All right, so this was a case that the investigative committee had actually recommended no violations, and then during the initial discussion, we had some concerns. I think in looking back on it, my concerns were more around what have we done to prevent this from happening in the future. I mean, obviously, we made a medical records change that was in there, or a form change, but sometimes that might make it better, but that's never going to fix the issue. And I feel like, you know, what I wanted to hear is that we've done other things, like next time we see a scar, we'll check beforehand and things like that, because really, and there was an error here. We went into an abdomen on a dog that we shouldn't have, and we tattooed a dog that we really didn't have approval to do because of they weren't there for that procedure. And I can see from an owner's perspective being upset about how this transpired, but I also, in looking at it, go, the clinic has done everything that they can now to fix the issue. And so I, you know, I'm kind of the mindset that in case 22-135, we find no violations of the Practice Act or rules.
Okay, I have a motion. Second.
I've just add that, just so we understand that when these kind of things happen, it isn't a matter of this is a simple incision, I make an incision, took a little peek, and she's already spayed. You look and look and look for a uterus. You're trying to get it elevated. Now you make a bigger incision, because you have to make a bigger incision to find those stumps. Now this is not a simple, she spayed, let's move on.
Well, and you can have post up incision complications, right? Such
and you
that
can
we
have
had,
incision
right?
complications.
Like, we had complications from this.
Yeah, I just wanted to emphasize that she had an opportunity when she saw that scar to stop it right there with just a few questions. That's all. A couple questions. So, yeah, I think she maybe has learned from it. However, does that excuse totally 100% what happened in the judgment call at that time?
Okay, do I have a second on
second.
The motion? Okay, so a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Okay, let's do roll call. Dr. Jane?
Double duty here.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost isn't here. Dr. Jane says an aye. Mr. Lougheed?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Okay. The board has voted to dismiss case 22-135. This concludes this matter, and Dr. Neal, you will receive written confirmation of the board's action shortly. Thanks for joining us today. I apologize we were late in calling.
That's okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.